The Americas.
Latin America's Gangs, Part 2. Deliver us from evil. In parts of rural Colombia, gangs are the de facto state. They enforce social conservatism through grisly means.
Maria Alvarez, not her real name, is a devout Catholic. She was relieved last year when the Ismael Ruiz gang, an offshoot of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, set up operations in her rural hometown of San Antonio. They promised to end what Ms. Alvarez calls immoral behaviours. Then, 2 months ago, the gang ran her son out of town. They disliked his motorcycle stunts, long hair and earrings. She misses him but maintains that social cleansing prevents people from stealing from hard-working people like us and it helps to make sure our young people behave. Most Latin Americans abhor the scourge of organised crime and support harsh crackdowns. This accounts for the remarkable popularity of Nayib Bukele, El Salvador's president, who has used mass incarceration and the army to bring what had been one of the world's highest murder rates down to near that of Canada. But there are pockets of Latin America, particularly in rural areas, where gangs have become popular and act as the de facto state. Some 14% of Latin Americans, 80 million people, say criminal groups provide order and reduce crime in their communities. People most admire gangs because they are better able than elected governments to impose strict social control. Daniela Castillo Aguillon, a former government official working on Colombia's peace process, says the country is socially conservative and permeated by sexism and stigmatization of transgender people, prostitutes and drug takers. Certain criminal groups promise a society free of all that and of people like that, says Ms. Castillo. In San Antonio and other parts of Colombia, gangs threaten or even kill thieves and drug dealers and sex workers who are found to be infected with sexually transmitted disease. When your correspondent visited the rural province of Tolima, a local showed her a pamphlet. Do not be in the streets on Saturday between 4 p.m. and Sunday 6 a.m. We will do a social cleansing. In 2016, Colombia's government signed a peace agreement with the country's largest rebel group, the FARC, after over half a century of guerrilla warfare. Yet the deal left a power vacuum in many parts of the country, in places like Tolima, that was not filled by the state. New gangs flooded in, creating a deadly kaleidoscope where more than 190 groups struggle for control. When gangs consolidate power, locals can start to see them as an attractive alternative or complement to the government. In a 2019 survey of 7,000 residents in Medellin, Colombia's second city, most people said they had paid an extortion fee. In exchange, gangs offer dispute resolution and other services and are easier to contact than the police or the mayor's office. Only 46% of respondents said their neighbourhood would be better off without the gangs. Business owners disapproved of extortion but disliked municipal taxes more. Juan Carlos Garcia Granada, a former guerrilla fighter from an arm of the FARC called Frente 21, which signed the 2016 peace deal, worries about social cleansing. That is because peace signatories and other social leaders are among those first in line. The people doing the cleansing are often FARC dissidents who didn't lay down arms and feel betrayed by their former comrades who did. They kill and threaten our colleagues, Mr. Garcia Granada rages. Almost half of the human rights workers killed around the world last year perished in Colombia, according to Frontline Defenders, a human rights organisation. This makes it the deadliest country in the world for such work. Similar tactics are deployed in Mexico. The Sinaloa gang has reportedly hung banners in the city of Culiacán, which was for years the operating base of the now-jailed drug lord Joaquín El Chapo Guzmán, prohibiting the trafficking, sale and production of fentanyl, a synthetic opioid that killed more than 70,000 people in the United States last year. In March, the group plastered bridges with posters announcing that the leaders of the gang do not allow theft, kidnappings and extortion in the community. Enforcers threaten, kidnap or murder those who disobey. But the Sinaloa gang is also known for doing good in its community through what is sometimes called narco-charity. Gangs build schools or churches and sometimes throw parties for locals. Ecuador's biggest gang, Los Choneros, paid for a Christmas party in December, complete with people dressed up as Mickey Mouse and fairies who handed out toys to children. Such actions aim at winning hearts and minds. In Mexico, narco corridos, or ballads that glorify drug lords, are popular. Even the Mexican president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, seems to view Mr. Guzmán as a Robin Hood figure. He has visited Badiraguato, Mr. Guzmán's hometown, several times. In 2020, he shook hands enthusiastically with the gangster's mother. Mr. López Obrador's team was accused of taking money from drug lords during his first presidential campaign in 2006, in return for a promise to tolerate them. Mr. López Obrador denies this. Mexico and Colombia have some of the highest recorded levels of impunity in the world, 95% and 94% respectively of reported crimes do not lead to a conviction. Latin Americans want to feel safe. Where criminal gangs do a better job of providing that feeling than governments, many are willing to welcome their rule. That is certainly what Ms. Alvarez continues to believe, even after her own child was chased away from home.